Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term medical plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term medical plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Welcome to the AEW Dynamite Preview. I'm Adam Wilborn from What Culture, joined by one of the Dudley Boys, Michael Sidgwick from What Culture, to look ahead to tonight's episode of AEW Dynamite. But before we get into it, if you're a fan of this sort of thing, make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling on either iTunes, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts from, for daily wrestling podcasts where we not only review AEW Dynamite and AEW Rampage, but also Raw, SmackDown, NXT, pay-per-views. We have interviews, roundtable discussions, and a roundup of the week complete with the Money Quiz, of course, on WrestleCulture. As I said, though, joined by Michael Sidgwick. Michael Hamflett still enjoying a very well-earned week off for Dynamite Preview, the first of its kind, with CM Punk.
I mean, it's all about Punk, isn't it? Before you even mentioned his name, you usually give us a chance to summarise what I think the show's going to be like in terms of quality, etc. And my lead-in was going to be, this looks on paper to be a thoroughly, it was pretty good, 7 out of 10 Dynamite, which would rank it among the worst ever, considering how tits this show is at its best. 7 out of 10 Dynamite, elevated by CM Punk appearing on the card.
In terms of, I don't want to jump ahead, in terms of ratings, are you quietly confident in this? I mean, because, you know, unless you're a, to use the phrase, yours, WWE mutant, you weren't thinking, oh, well, I think Rampage are going to do 2 million. Like, you were thinking 800,000, and then that number comes out on Monday night, I think it was, and it blows everyone's expectations out of the water. And now there are people suggesting, whether in good or bad faith, this could do 1.5, potentially. I mean, the thing is, like you say, it's not a card with a lot of appointment viewing aside from Punk, I suppose.
Indeed, I genuinely thought that Rampage was going to get over the million. I had faith in CM Punk. I had faith in the viral marketing campaign that some wrestling journals, who I really respect, were very much thinking, oh, they should have done it explicitly. Mm. And it's like, no, because everyone knows wrestling fans are more intelligent than WWE has treated them to be so often. And I just thought, it's perfect, because in doing this, in the coolest way possible, you are training your audience to expect, oh, more cool stuff like this will happen. Mm. So what they're doing is they got a great rating without mentioning them explicitly, got a full house, their biggest house ever, and at the same time, they got the trust built in the audience that something this cool could ever happen again. You're deepening that bond with the audience, sacrificing maybe a couple hundred thousand, but it's more important. They played the long game, the short game, the medium game, every goddamn game, and they've done it with aplomb. In terms of the Dynamite rating tonight, I'm expecting on any other week other than this one, in which Raw pulled its second best demo number of the year, I would expect this AEW Dynamite to compete with the average Raw demo. Mm. In terms of the sexier, easier, more understandable overall number, and I'm not patronizing you, like, I see a 0.5 and I have to really get my gears worrying about how good that is, I'm expecting 1.2.
I think that's a fair expectation. I think it's going to, like you say, it's trended across the weekend. You look at the PWT stuff, you look at just everything, basically, all the metrics that you could measure it on. He is a bit of a needle mover, it turns out. A quick word I wanted to mention before I get your thoughts on his Dynamite appearance, because you and I obviously regularly watch The Road 2 ahead of this, and again, the road to is just... Remember when Punk was on Rampage last week? But I want to give a quick nod to AEW's production department, which often get a bit overlooked. Obviously, the road twos are a fantastic showcasing of what is capable when you have such fantastic individuals there. But when you got to see that production footage of the bloke, you know, ready camera six, go camera six or whatever, I just think it deserves a mention. And I'm not sure if we did or I did mention this on the Rampage review. I think I mentioned that the commentators letting it breathe, which was just something that could be learned by them over there. But also the cuts. All these people have been saying this in the reactions on Reddit to this video that's come out, or on Twitter or wherever you may have seen it. Of yes, there's a lot of cuts. It's cut to, you know, Punk coming out, to crowd, to sign, to Punk, to, you know, a nice different visual sweeping over the crowd or whatever. But even so, again, you just get a chance to take it all in a lot more, it feels, because it was, there's a chance there that you want to get every single crying fan in the audience or whatever. And you watch it back with that overlaid with it, and you realise that sometimes when it's just Punk coming out and kneeling down and going, bloody hell, it's nice to just take a second. And I just wanted to give a little nod to the production department for that.
Indeed, and I don't want to undermine your effusive and richly deserved praise of that production truck. And what a really nice thing for AEW to do.
Yeah.
They have subtly told you, look at how much goes into this across the entire board. It was a really nice thing for them to do, to put over the production team. Beautiful. By the same measure, there is a curve to defeat, and WWE's product, not just in terms of the creative, not just in terms of the emotional investment, the actual experience of watching WWE is literally unwatchable. I'm numb to it. And then people will put like MP4s on Twitter and say, Jesus Christ, there's been 50 cuts and a 12-second beatdown. Every Miz punch on Morrison filmed from a different angle. And I'm thinking, this is insane. This is literally unwatchable. Not only is it nausea-inducing, but you are missing the point of every impact with The Miz. Maybe that's a good idea. But generally speaking, it's an insane thing to do. As much as I thought it was a wonderful touch, as much as I think AEW is brilliant at production, I still maintain the standard bearer is New Japan Professional Wrestling.
Yes.
And I really hope, because this production team, I want to put them over, they've improved drastically as well.
Oh, yeah.
They're a new unit, new TV show, a new sort of style guide to just learn, if you like. I still think there's a certain discipline, and I hope this comes with time. This team is rapidly improving. There's a certain discipline they could exercise. And maybe it's an American TV thing. Maybe the American audience wouldn't be trained, because what New Japan does is it very rarely cuts. They capture the arc of every aerial, the snugness of every strike. I think there's a perfect balance to be made, but insofar as American TV pro wrestling goes, the AEW is the standard bearer in America by some distance.
I've given you a fair few hospital passes over the years on the thing, it's fair to say, but turning around to you now and saying, CM Punk's debut in AEW on Rampage, as we've said and many other people have said, was perfect. Follow that tonight. Book it for me, Sidge.
I don't know. Here's the thing. The wonderful thing about the Rampage debut is that it was very much informed by those agonizing 7 years in which, for the vast majority, if not all of the 7 years, it was thought, oh, he's not coming back. Mm. So he was self-reflective. He was a real human being. Yes, he sold the fight and issued the challenge to Darby Allin, but he was very much doing Phil Brooks as much as CM Punk, in that he told you the real reason he wants to be there was he really wants to give back. He wants to work with younger talent. He wishes he had someone like him in his corner in WWE. Now's the time to be more CM Punk, if that makes any sense at all. Like, I loved seeing Phil Brooks as much as I loved seeing CM Punk. But it's time now, and it must start tonight on Dynamite, where the novelty hasn't worn off. That's a bad way of putting it. But what I'm getting at is, start really getting into the fictional world of AEW and try not to put across this fight with Darby Allin as a favour or as like a gentleman contest. Because at the minute, it does feel like, I really want to work with Darby Allin. Darby Allin's going to be happy to work with CM Punk, as will everyone on that roster. Isn't this nice? Mm. We like each other. Let's have a match at the pay-per-view. I want a little bit of juice to it now. Mm. I don't know if that's greedy or if it's just good booking or whatever. A little bit of juice. I'm not suggesting anyone turns heel. I'm not suggesting the thread of mutual respect is severed to do some like hokey work in pro wrestling. But, you know, a little bit more of, we're going to have a fight, not I really want to fight you, if that makes any sense whatsoever. In terms of how they build that, I had two ideas, and they might even do both on the same night. CM Punk said, I've got some scores to settle in the back. Could he have been talking about anybody other than Colt Cabana?
I mean, that's who my mind immediately went to.
And even if he wasn't referencing Colt Cabana specifically when he said that, these are the clever people in a competent wrestling company. They must know that we think he meant Colt Cabana. Maybe he'll call him out for a reconciliation if he cuts a promo at the same time as the Darby Allin. That would be a nice moment. Maybe the friendship is severed forever and it just doesn't get touched upon and we are all reading too much into the Cabana stuff. If there's a relationship that is there to be saved, if it has in fact already been saved, but they just want to tell people to create a nice moment, do it on telly. Why the hell not? And then maybe Darby Allin can say something along the lines of, this isn't your live journal, which would be a nice touch because CM Punk was very active on there back in the day. Take me seriously. Like, stop being Phil Brooks. I didn't say Phil Brooks is the best in the world. I want CM Punk the best in the world. Something like that. If they don't do that, I expect to see CM Punk, and this is not rocket science, Darby Allin's in a match tonight.
Yeah.
Darby Allin's in a match tonight. And it's funny. Is there an obvious main event on this show? That's the problem with it, really. There isn't.
No, I suppose not.
Maybe they are not loading the show for a variety of reasons. One of which is, you've got your pay-per-view coming up. You're not going to save your best wrestling because the wrestling on the pay-per-view is the selling point. We're now in the storytelling territory. The byproduct of which means you're not going to get that many killer matches. Maybe they are advertising CM Punk, knowing that he'll be the draw. Don't have to burn through matches. No point. There's no obvious main event. Maybe that six-man with Darby Allin, which we're going to get into, will function as the main event for the express purpose of 2.0 and Daniel Garcia, I'm going to say this until it doesn't happen, can launch a beatdown when the wingmen are easily dispatched. The wingmen and Garcia and 2.0 can form this impromptu wonder stable and overpower the babyfaces, Sting included. Punk comes out. Pretty Peter Avalon takes the first GTS in AEW. Stare down as the show goes off the air between Punk and Allin.
Yeah, so let's talk about that match, because I was thinking the exact same thing. Looking at the names there, if you're not aware, Moxley, Kingston, Allin versus Cesar Bononi, Ryan Nemeth, and JD Drake of the Wingmen, which does leave Peter Avalon. And I'm like trying to pair people off, and the two like hard, I don't know, Moxley could also be classified as this, but like I'd put like JD Drake and Kingston together as just brawling. The big Cesar Bononi, you know, he's not a monster, but you know what I mean? Just a big lad with Moxie, and that leaves Ryan Nemeth and Peter Avalon beating down Darby Allin. I don't know whether that's too far, because like you say, it's, when you're using the wingman as a stable, even though I know we've had 2.0 and what have you, who haven't exactly racked up wins, but I don't know. Maybe you have Peter Avalon and Ryan Nemeth beating down Darby Allin and CM Punk makes the save, but yeah, it's going to be a straightforward victory in that match for the babyfaces and John Moxley.
Yes, absolutely. Sting's there as well, so maybe you have to get the Garcia and 2.0 thing. They'll work something out. They'll never do the 4-on-3 babyface advantage, as I said before. It's not NXT doing War Games, so it is fine. So I've discussed what I expect might happen after the match. As for the match itself, this feels like an attempt to replicate that. Just that fun magic with Garcia and 2.0. Three of the coolest baby faces in a cool alliance. Just beating up without any ceremony or any challenge. Three guys who can sell a beatdown in quite an amusing way. I'm into that. Particularly when CM Punk's on the show and you don't need a killer main event. The question is if it can be quite as good. Not being funny, Bononi's no Garcia. Like 2.0, a great tag team. I don't think it'll be quite as good, but there's more people in there. It'll be louder. There'll be the buzz of potentially CM Punk doing his first angle in AEW. It'll be fun, and it'll be loud if it's not great. If I'm laying the match out, if I'm a producer, I'm putting JD Drake in there as often as possible because he actually rules. I'm not saying the other two are bad in the ring, but JD Drake's the workhorse, so put him in the match more often than not.
And you could do something along the lines, maybe backstage earlier, with Matt Martell saying, well, Moxley thinks it's so tough being a dad. I'm a newer dad than he is, and I'm the real draw. That's why everyone tuned in on Friday, not because of Punk or Moxley versus Garcia, but we were a ringside for that. So I'm a real draw. I've got these massive ratings and what have you. In terms of other big matches, we've also got the Factory versus Gun Club with Paul White on commentary.
Big?
Well, I was just going to say, there's an allusion to that. QT Marshall going to hit a choke slam here? Because you've got Paul White on commentary. You feel like there's going to be some back and forth, obviously, between the two of them before All Out. But with QT Marshall, I do think you can be quite cute with it in terms of he gets Nick Comoroto to help him choke slam Austin Gunn or whatever it may be. I don't know. How do you see it playing out, that one?
I mean, that's probably the best idea. This has been built. It's going to be a very short match. We've got the stakes. We've got the premise. It's a nice one. Paul White defending the honour of Tony Schiavone's family. What a nice, wholesome, little, inessential mid-card buffer that will be at All Out. I don't need a match to build it. But then again, you have to kind of build it. It's an attraction. It's Paul White's first match for AEW. Just get it over with. I'm not being funny. Like, I've got more patience than most, and by most I mean Michael Hamflett, about the prospect of White versus QT Marshall. I don't need it to be any more serious or featured than it is. I'm happy with QT Marshall doing precisely what you said, Wilborn. I think that's a great idea.
Or maybe I don't know. I don't want to cheapen it too much, i.e. just going, well, because we all know Paul White's battering QT Marshall at the pay-per-view, but you still have to try and sell some sort of, you know, I don't know, potential banana skin, perhaps. But whether he sets up and does the KO punch and it has no effect on Billy. Or something like that. I don't know, like, that undercuts him too much.
Just some taunts, as you say. Summon Paul White. This match exists for Paul White to be summoned, and QT Marshall can run away. And that'll form the story of the match at All Out, where QT Marshall just takes a powder, then takes a punch and a choke slam, and it's all over. I just don't need to see, and I know they've got Rampage, I don't need to see prime real estate dedicated to something that we know the finish, we know how long it's going to go, we know how little it's going to matter. This six-man, I can't be arsed.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50. Luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Related to that, there's a match tonight that, you know, could main event, perhaps. There's been, a you know, weeks of storyline invested in it, but I see your eyes glaze over as I lean towards Matt Hardy versus Orange Cassidy.
Cassidy's over. He's in a new market. He will get a big reaction. The match will be fun, maybe also a bit drab. Matt Hardy, man, we'll go two-footed on him every single podcast. But the nicest possible thing I can say about this match is, oh, he doesn't have anything else really lined up. Maybe the Jungle Boy thing could continue. The fact that this match is happening on a Dynamite so close to All Out means that Matt Hardy might not have a presence at All Out. If I'm being perfectly, perfectly honest and blunt, and I don't think I'm alone in this assessment or unfair in it, Matt Hardy has taken up quite a bit of AEW pay-per-view time on AEW pay-per-views. And this upcoming one at All Out, Jesus Christ, the only problem with this show is that it could be too long. We say that a lot about AEW pay-per-views, but looking at the roster and the storylines going on, it feels especially pronounced here. Orange Cassidy goes over. Hopefully it's a really fun match. Matt Hardy can have fun as a heel against Orange Cassidy. Let's just hope it's fun. You know, I'm not saying good for a reason. I'm saying fun.
Yes.
Because I don't think it's going to be that good.
I still think, yeah, you're right. There can be some fun spots in this match. But aside from maybe a few gifts tomorrow morning and a boy popper, this is not going to be a match to write home about, is it?
No.
It's a shame, but it's...
this is a competitive landscape. This is a competitive company. And, Christian Cage versus Matt Hardy was really good. It was.
Oh, yeah.
But at the same time, it's not anything that thrilled us ahead of time. It's not something that was the best thing on the show. It's not something that if they cancelled that match, you'd think, oh, man. So, that says it all about Hardy's run.
I think it's going to be interesting to see what entertaining spot it is that they go for with this, whether it be, I don't know, when he used to do it in WWE, the delete where he'd smash someone's head against the turnbuckle. I don't know, that with sunglasses on.
You can get some visual of Cassidy's with one lens still on and the other one wrapped around his skull. Like, we always do this. I think you could lose an eye if they try and do that.
Yeah, it was really dangerous. speaking of losing an eye, Brock Anderson's facing Malakai Black.
Phenomenal segue. Huge pap.
All I've written, you can look at my notes there. Can Brock Anderson survive Malakai Black? And I know what the answer is, but what's going to happen, basically? Because when your dad goes, don't do this, son, and your dad's on Anderson, that speaks volumes.
Absolutely. Love this. I just want to see that entrance again. I want to see that entrance in an arena.
Oh, yeah.
It was so great. I can't believe how much of a Malakai Black guy I am now. Like, people listen to my effusive praise of Malakai Black and my scathing, genuinely gleeful burials of Aleister Black in that dark room. They probably think, oh, God, maybe he is biased. And in response to that, I would say, one's good and one isn't.
Hmm.
This Malakai Black character rules. It's literally the opposite of WWE. And WWE is like, I'm going to wait for a fight. Well, have you not watched WWE? You go and chin someone, and then you'll get one in two minutes after the ad break.
Yeah, title match, probably.
And now in AEW, proving that I'm not in fact biased, he's doing the opposite of what I said was awful, and it's actually great. Brock Anderson here. It all depends on how much you want to give him.
Yeah.
They give Cody nothing by design because it's the now annual go big show write-off angle. But subsequent to that, Brody Lee and Dustin Rhodes being less of a star than Cody is, are really rollicking back and forth. And it was great. And maybe Brock Anderson's going to get way more. Not too much. But they're really good at balancing this. Like, they're not going to do... Remember Aleister Black versus Elias? Moody Aleister Black on his Raw debut, just sitting in a chin lock for 8 minutes. Like, they're not stupid. They're not WWE. You're not going to get that. Basically, just want to guess how many hope spots. One hope spot. Maybe he knows he's got no chance unless he just mauls them before the bell. So you get Brock Anderson just chinning him before the bell. Malakai Black looks shaken for the first time. He tries to respond with the black mass or whatever they're going to call it in AEW. Brock Anderson ducks, spine buster,
yeah, exactly,
near fall, and then in a state of total fury, you get the black mass after the kick out. That's how I would book it. Nice, simple, no doubt whatsoever over who is the more powerful, better performer, but you give Brock something. Because the idea is you're trying to build him as a guy with balls who's defending his dad. So you have to give him a hope spot.
Yeah. Here's a question about Malakai Black. Would you have him in AEW do that spot where he lifts someone up with his leg and then Black Masses them?
Of course, because it rules.
Yeah. I'm just double checking because I was thinking that may well happen tonight, that he Black Masses him. And Arn Anderson's like, well, that's that, son. And he's like, no, once more we're feeling, actually. Up you get.
Yeah,
boom!
Yeah.
Just absolutely. For you, Arn. Something
absolutely
like that.
Absolutely, they should do that. And then someone should reverse it later on, like, build. It was a great spot, that line.
Picks Daniel Bryan up with his foot, and Daniel Bryan puts him in.
Ah, a little born.
I know the way to your heart. One of the ways is the tag tournament's semi-final featuring the Lucha Bros. You've missed the Lucha Bros on telly. Well, they've been on telly, but they've had bloody admin issues because of Andrade El Admino. They're facing the Varsity Blondes. We anticipate, presumably, Lucha Bros versus Jurassic Express in the final, but it's unpredictable, this.
Well, the final's unpredictable, this, isn't it?
Yeah.
I'm not being funny, but like the Varsity Blondes aren't going over. Fascinated by how much time this gets, by how good it can be. I would maybe start the show with this. Varsity Blondes, everyone loves the act. Have they had a proper, great AEW match yet? I would say no, but that's not that much of a problem. They are very, very good in the slot that they're in. Is this time now for them to have the proper breakthrough match? In my opinion, yes, they've been given the best opponents. If you look at all the other matches on the show, Matt Hardy versus Orange Cassidy isn't going long. Wingmen aren't going long. Looking at who they're against, it would be senseless for that match to go too long. There's a women's match that won't go too long because you're looking to showcase somebody. Gun Club, I think this could be... Mm. I think this is pitched as, right, we're going to give you 12 to 14 to 15 minutes in the opener. Let's see how much progress you've actually made. You can't have a bad match against Phoenix in Pentagon. It is impossible. Let's see how good it can be. And I don't know. Just a strange... Is it a Styles Clash? I was very much looking forward to this because I feel like this is the match that they want people to rave about in the aftermath, but I don't know what the ceiling is. Lucha Bros are going over, and it's about time that in the tag team division, which I hold to in a massive standard, that they don't just do most of it on Dark. You're going to get at least two Lucha Bros or Jurassic Express matches on Dynamite or Rampage. And it's about time they didn't just feel like, right, okay, Heidi on Dark, beat five teams. Oh, suddenly they're the contenders. So I like this way of doing it.
Do you think they're going to do, I took the piss earlier, but do you think they're going to do any more of the Andrade stuff either tonight or possibly on the finals on Rampage on Friday?
There'll be a pre-taped, not great, Andrade El Idolo promo. Well, what happened last week? They had the big stipulations.
Oh, yeah.
We'll get the answer to what those stipulations are, and it's like 1,000 pages to say, oh, Andrade gets Phoenix and Penta if he beats Pac at All Out. Because that's what the thread is. He's trying to turn their heads. They've so far proven unturnable. So he's like, right, I'm going to twist your hand, bend your arm, whatever the frigging phrase is.
I like his thought process of like, well, I've tried getting him a limo and reorganising plane schedules, and that's not worked, so I'll have to fight back then. I think that's probably the direction they're going to go in for that one. You mentioned the women's match we've got tonight. Jamie Hayter versus Red Velvet, Britt Baker and Reba Rebel in the corner as well. A changed Jamie Hayter reintroduced to the AEW fans recently. And I sense this will be a relatively straightforward victory, just to remind us of what role she's going to play within Britt Baker's stable faction, whatever you want to call it.
Yes, and I'm more excited than I would be ordinarily when you have like a match with such an easy result, a functional match, because me and Andy Murray were like Jamie Hayter OGs back in the early days of Dynamite. We thought she was tremendous. Presence, nasty, how good her work looked, how convincing her stuff looked. So I'm looking forward to watching her again. Red Velvet at this point has been established, so I wouldn't do a squash. I'd actually try and go about 8 minutes with this one. The pandemic's changed everything. I don't know how often Jamie Hayter has worked recently. You can't imagine it's that often. And she wasn't the most experienced. That's systemic misogyny across all the professional wrestling. So I don't know what the ceiling's going to be, but I hope this is really good.
An appearance from Chris Statlander, possibly, in a, like a post-match beatdown or something?
Yeah, Baker and Hater will beat down Velvet in the aftermath. Chris Statlander will come out. She will get booed for daring to spoil the nasty things Britt Baker's doing, the unfair things she's doing, because people love Britt Baker. Look, the match will be way better than the inevitable post-match angle, which will heal the babyface, which is what happens when you book a babyface to be a heel.
Yeah, it's the one real issue I have with AEW right now. It's just every week with Britt Baker. It feels like, I mean, I don't want to do the old comparison. I always do this. But it does feel like WWE like, no, she's a heel. And everyone's like, no, she's a babyface. Literally, Phil said on Rampage, you know, you make me feel like Britt Baker in Pittsburgh. No, she's a heel.
Yeah.
Listen.
And
I get it. Like, I saw someone tweet me the other day saying this, saying, oh, you're saying that they should turn Britt Baker face or they should have a wrestler's face. Well, who would she face as a face? And that's all, or, you know, if I suggested like a Thunder Rosa heel turn or whatever. I get it, but that doesn't mean that you shouldn't listen to the audience and go, well, we better organise some heels for her to face.
At this point, they are better off. Because I've said before, what they'd been doing is they've been building your Statlanders, your Velvets, your Ty Contis. You've got Rio there somewhere, I think. Have they? I don't know. You've still got Sheeta. She's still a face. They'd been building a series of challenges in the babyface role, thinking that Britt Baker was going to be a heel. That's fine. That's hard work. That's well thought out. The problem is that even at the time, everyone knew Britt Baker was going to get received as a goddess in front of crowds. So maybe the plan, as well thought out as it was stupid and untenable to begin with. And look, I'm not being funny, but it's not as if these performers in the women's division have got these incredibly well thought out characters, that they've got these incredibly detailed arcs that have been penciled in on the booking sheet that you can't possibly disturb and turn Britt Baker face to mess all these grand dovetailing plans, these intricate plans. They've got very little in terms of the women's division. Can they not just have some of the women play situational heel and change the direction of the Britt Baker character? Because at this point, Chris Statlander's going to suffer. Mm-hmm. Red Velvet suffered in Pittsburgh. This is what happens when you've got an over baby face in heels clothing. Like, you're just ruining everyone on the roster who's like next to Britt Baker, and they've given her a heater. So that's not going to work.
No.
Unless they rush through Hater heel versus Britt Baker face. Like, they might as well do that. Hater's really talented. This heater thing, such an odd idea. And I know they didn't just have it, but it just makes the thing that people want less realistic. It's a mess, but it's a fun, loud, high quality mess. So weird.
Yeah. One final thing to look forward to on Dynamite tonight is Chris Jericho addressing his future. He was, of course, missing from Rampage as a result of that defeat to MJF. What does the future hold for Chris Jericho, aside from presumably a Fozzy tour?
I shouldn't be worried, because this storyline's been 90% of the way excellent. And if you think of how long it's lasted, that is some incredible achievement. WWE trauma brain is a very real thing. I can't help but think that the gravity of what MJF has done, and what he's done is he's defeated Chris Jericho 3 times. It's going to be undermined if Chris Jericho comes out and says, I can't accept that loss. I just can't do it. If I'm losing to someone who wants to take my spot 3 times, maybe he's right. Maybe I don't deserve the spot anymore. I'm willing to put my career on the line against MJF at All Out in some kind of stipulation match. Chris Jericho wins because he's not actually going to retire yet. That would involve people not singing Fozzy at him. But the idea is Chris Jericho won the feud ender on the pay-per-view, but MJF can still say, well, it's 3-1. Does that ruin the gravity of the storyline, the entire purpose of which has been so that MJF can steal Chris Jericho's spot? Maybe I'm completely off base. Maybe that is WWE brain speaking. And you know what? Maybe it isn't the disastrous idea. I'm happy that the storyline ended. I thought it was very good. Great. At its very, very best. It was great. Nick Gage, like, that stuff ruled. Ladina Debonair. There's been so many highlights. The promos going to Blood and Guts. Like, it's been mostly like amazing top tier episodic TV. I'm worried that they're going to ruin the gravity. I'm worried that they are going to knock certain fans who are very much ready to let this one go. It's finished. It's been a definitive winner. But you look at how over Chris Jericho is. You look at the reaction they got last week on Dynamite and you think, do the fans want MJF versus Chris Jericho, like the really loud ones who are paying tickets? And the answer might just be yes. Whether I'm prepared for it to... I want to see MJF do something different. I want to see Chris Jericho do something different. My worry is that we're getting one more go-round that they can both, in the aftermath, claim a victory. And that goes against everything I like about AEW storytelling in a way. You got to serve the fans and not someone like me, but I love how much losses matter in this promotion as much as wins, and how much what happened to Hangman Page after All Out 2020. Look how over he is and how much sympathy he got, because they sold that loss as a devastating thing that completely affected his performance level, his friendship networks, everything. This feels like, if in fact it does happen, like the best kind of 50-50, but maybe I'm over that whole thing.
Interesting to see what happens with him tonight. I am fascinated to see what happens with that. And, well, mainly interested to see how they follow up the perfect debut, as we mentioned on the Rampage review. Let us know your thoughts on tonight's show, particularly CM Punk's first Dynamite appearance, on Twitter at WhatCultureWWE. Well, actually, they can follow both of us. You can follow Michael Sidgwick at
M Sidgwick.
Follow me at Adam Wilborn. Follow us all at WhatCultureWWE. And make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling, wherever you get your podcasts from, for daily wrestling podcasts. Our NXT, apologies, review is available right now, and our review of this show will be available tomorrow. So if you subscribe, it'll be in your feed as soon as it is released. But this has been the Dynamite Preview. My thanks to Michael Sidgwick. Thank you for joining us, and we will see you soon.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.